welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Today, we have two original shows recorded by ART. First up is a new story by ART actor Kay Lutz. No, not a ghost story, but involving a car crash. Here's Amy's Gift.
The blurry line between life and death has been a puzzle to us since the beginning of time. Is there really a light at the end of the tunnel? No one can say with any certainty. But when consciousness returns to Amy Preston, it does not come alone. American Radio Theater invites you to listen to our original production of Amy's Gift, written by Kay Lutz.
It's been such a wonderful day, Dad. Lunch out, new shoes, and the most beautiful dress.
Well, I want my girl to be the prettiest one in her office. What's the least I could do, especially considering the salary they give you? Besides, what's the use of being a manager at Macy's if I can't get the best for my princess?
Thank you so much, Dad.
Oh, it's nothing, kitten. You mean the world to me.
Aw, mush. I know Mom...
Amy!
Tunnel crews T-42 through T-2096, you have incoming. Please report to your positions. Tunnel crews T-42 through T-2096, incoming. Tunnel crew J-115, you have incoming.
That's a long shift, dispatch. Boy, the T-crews are getting hammered. I hate those tsunamis and earthquakes. They really put a strain on the system.
No kidding, Control. Speaking of systems, when are we getting the updates we was promised?
Just a couple more days, they tell me.
Yeah, that's not so helpful. In this place, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years a day.
Well, what can I say?
Tunnel crew R-76, you have incoming. Please report to your positions. Tunnel crew R-76, incoming.
Another drunk driver, Control?
No. Drunk driver's victim.
Weird how seldom the drunk gets it. Who is it this time?
It's a young woman, Amy Preston.
Aw, that's a shame. I hate it when they arrive here so early. Just coming into their own and all.
I know, but it's nothing new.
You got that right, boss. All the same... Uh-oh. We got a blue light on R-76.
Blue? Are you sure?
All my eons in dispatch, and you think I don't know one color from another?
Oh, okay, check the board, Dan. Do you have your tech stuff?
Tech stuff. Done. And the light's still blue. We got a floater.
Oh, why does this always happen right before the end of a shift?
Can't say. The chief, she don't let me in on her divine plans no more.
All right, who's running R-76 tonight?
Let me see. Fresh crew. Uh-oh. Huh? The family and friends team know what they're doing. Same for the lighting guys. But you'll never guess who's in charge of the spiritual gifts.
You don't mean...
Yep.
Foreknowledge?
Bingo. But he goes by prescience now.
Oh.
Got all hoity-toity after he guessed right on the recent primaries.
You mean he predicted...
Yep. He's always been a jerk, but I hear he's really got stuck on himself now.
Oh, boy, that is the last guy we need on a blue light.
What can I say, Control?
I know. She doesn't let you in on her divine plans. No more. Well, I better get down there right away. Foreknowledge, or prescience, or whatever he's calling himself these days, has got to let the soul make up its own mind to stay or return. We can't interfere one way or the other.
I hear you, boss. You better hurry. You want I should call, backup? Don't it figure? And only a few ticks till shift change. Don't it beat all.
Hey, buddy. Hold up there. Where you think you're going? Oh, sorry, Control.
Never seen you run before. What's up?
We got a blue light on the board for this tunnel. Didn't you see it?
Well, we've been having some tech problems off and on. Just a sec. Oh, yeah. Will you look at that blue light? Hey, guys, we got a floater here. Keep the family and friends to the bare minimum. We want the soul, what's her name? Amy, to feel welcome, but we don't want to be pushy. And dim those lights at the end of the tunnel a couple notches. A little more. There you go. Perfect. Okay, Control, we got it covered. Amy can float all she likes till she makes up her mind.
Great, great. Thanks. You know, I thought with foreknowledge here, we might have some trouble.
Oh, you mean prescience. He's around here somewhere. Ah, son of a...
What's wrong?
That presumptuous little...
What?
Well, it seems that God's gift to... Sorry. Foreknowledge has crossed the barrier. He's gone too far into the tunnel.
You mean he...
Yep. Instead of helping the soul into our realm, that pompous jerk could get sucked back into Amy's world.
Oh, that's great. Just what I need.
Don't worry. We got a 50-50 chance it'll be okay.
Oh, and isn't there something you can do to keep this from happening?
Other than those big signs that say, do not go beyond this point? No.
Well, I guess it's up to Amy. If she decides to come this way, her little spiritual gift will have to come along with her. And if not, well, let's just hope she comes to us.
Yep, it's all we can do. I'll keep an eye on things here and give you updates when Amy starts to move. I'll get the lads to grab prescience the moment they cross the barrier. Who could have seen this coming?
Control, talk to me.
Amy Preston is beginning to drift.
And foreknowledge?
He's still with it. We can't break him free, not without sending somebody else across the barrier. What does that leave us, boss?
No, there's not much we can do except to appeal to the chief for intervention. And with her backlog, by the time she gets to this request, Amy may have already moved back to the physical realm and prescience with her.
So we just wait and see it.
Not much else we can do except hope that the physical realm dampens foreknowledge's prescience's power. He's a gift for the spirit realm, not for the earth.
So, just cross the
fingers. Yeah. Keep me posted. So what's next, Dispatch?
We got an apartment fire. Looks like Tunnel Team J753 can handle it. Hopefully that's the last big thing before shift change. Oh, and you have these forms to fill out.
Dr. Bruce, telephone, please.
Has there been any change, Dr. Casey?
Amy is still unconscious, but her vitals are getting stronger. I'm going to keep her in critical care, but I'm very optimistic.
So she'll be okay?
There's every reason to hope. Yes.
Oh, thank God for that. Can we see her?
Of course.
Oh, Amy. Oh, my darling.
I'm sorry there's so little room here. There's only one chair.
You take the seat, dear.
I'm not sure how aware she is of her surroundings, but you can certainly hold her hand and talk to her. I'll be back in a while to check in.
Thank you, Doctor.
Amy? Amy, Mother's here, sweetheart. The doctor says you're going to get well soon. I know you can hear me, darling. Please come back to us.
She's going to be okay, hon. The doc is optimistic. We need to be, too.
Dr. Blair, Dr. J. Hamilton, Dr. J.
Control, talk to me.
It's Amy Preston, sir. We're losing her. Seems like people are praying for her to return. You know, it's never made any sense to me. They talk about how wonderful it will be to go to heaven, but when one gets a chance to actually go... They pray that she
won't. Yeah, well, humans, go figure. And prescience?
Along for the ride, I'm afraid.
Great. All right, I'll let the chief know. She's not going to be pleased.
Sorry, sir. We tried.
I know. You did all you could. Thanks. Just what I needed. More paperwork right at the end of the shift. Guess I'd better get started.
Well, somebody has an admirer. Oh, you've got some lovely flowers, Amy. I know you can't see them with your eyes closed, but I bet you can smell them.
Gesundheit.
Goodness, you're talking. You're back with us. Okay, let me put these flowers. Oh, excuse me. It must be the carnations. Oh, let me get Dr. Casey and your parents. Mr. and Mrs. Preston, your daughter's coming too.
Amy, she's conscious?
Yes.
And the funniest thing, she said Gesundheit when I was giving her the flowers.
Really? She takes after me, I guess. When I awoke from surgery years ago, I said, I'm thirsty, in French. Thanks for the good news.
Hi, Mom.
Amy?
Kitten, you're with us again.
I guess I am.
Oh, darling, we're so happy you're alive. I couldn't bear it if... How are you feeling, sweetie?
Dry as toast. Can I have some water?
Of course. There you go, dear.
Thanks.
Amy, you've been unconscious for 3 days. We weren't sure you were going to make it. I couldn't stand it.
I'm okay, Dad. Aren't I?
Yes, you are. You most certainly are.
He hadn't been drinking.
What?
The guy in the car that hit us. Something about yeast in his gut.
What?
How do you know about that?
Dunno. Just had a feeling when I saw you or something. I feel so sleepy.
Of course. Your dad and I will let you get some rest, Amy. I'm just so glad we didn't lose
you. Oh, Mom, I'll be okay.
We'll see you later, kiddo. Get some sleep.
Gesundheit in yeast? The things our brains come up with.
But the yeast thing, it's real. Yeah, I just found out this morning that the guy who hit us has something called auto-brewery syndrome. It's rare, but it can happen after a heavy course of antibiotics.
You're kidding, right? That's his defense?
No, I'm not kidding. The food ferments in his intestines, and while his blood test showed he was over the limit, he'd actually not been drinking. My question is, how did Amy know about the driver's condition?
Oh, don't be silly. She couldn't. You must have said something.
Amy.
Right here, Mr. Willoughby.
Oh, good timing. Amy, I need that
Anderson report. Here you are.
Thank you. How did you know?
Because it's the hot project right now.
Well, good for you, Amy. I like it that you're right on top of things. Very professional. I like the change. I suppose that accident helped you reevaluate your priorities.
I guess so, Mr. Willoughby.
Anyway, all I can say is good for you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mr. Willoughby.
Amy.
Celia, why the...
Shh. What's going on with you and Mr. W?
Nothing's going on. Why?
Well, all of a sudden, Mr. W's gone from, hey, you, to Amy, and he treats you like his favorite niece.
I don't know, Celia. Maybe he feels sorry for me. The accident, the coma, I don't know.
No, there's something more. He's always praising your good work, the way you always seem to be anticipating his needs.
Well, it's not like his needs are complicated, that, you know.
Well, how did you know how to walk into his office with the Anderson report before he even called you?
I just knew. I don't know.
He's had you working on 5 top priority projects this week. How'd you know which one he wanted right then?
Good guess.
Well, I think something strange is going on with you. You've been doing stuff like that ever since you came back to work.
Stuff like what?
Like yesterday, when you came over to my desk with the stapler. How'd you know my stapler had broken?
I didn't know. I just...
Yeah. You're always roaming the halls, toting your swing line 6, just in case of trouble.
Well, put it that way,
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Now, don't think I'm a kook, but I think I know what happened. You had a near-death experience, and that changes people. Sometimes it gives them special abilities.
You've been watching too many movies, Celia. Except for some scars, a really sore shoulder, I'm just the same as I ever was. Even my wardrobe is the same.
That's not what I mean. I think you've come back with some sort of gift. An ability to see into the future.
I almost thought you were serious, Celia. What a joke. Me? See into the future? Why would I want to do that? To see me in the same job 10 years from now, still typing reports for Mr. W? What a bummer.
I am serious, Amy. I've read about this stuff. It's real. There have been scientific studies.
Yeah, yeah. If I could really see into you in the future, don't you think I would have gone straight to my desk and skipped this entire ridiculous conversation?
Okay, be that way. But just pay attention to what happens over the next few days. See if you're able to anticipate things, like you knew that was coming.
Sure, whatever.
I'm serious, Amy. And I've only mentioned it because you're my best friend, and I'm concerned, that's all.
I'm sorry, Celia, but you've always been more woo-woo than me.
I know, Amy, but use your logic. Pay attention to what you're doing and how you're doing it. That's all I'm asking.
Sure. Okay, but you know that observing can change what's observed.
That's exactly what I mean. Be scientific and stuff. Observe, and you'll see how you've changed.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We're the good old Lease Brothers from Chicago. I'm Dave Liberace Lease on piano. We have Ken Bam Bam Lease on drugs. Drums. It's a band. Who knows? Greg Hotel Porter on bass. Mary Bubbles Carroll on guitar. And Beth Squeaks Slansky playing the radio. We'll be back for the Armada Room's 2-hour retro party after this short break. In the meantime, don't you go changing.
I'm glad you can make it out on short notice, Celia.
Yeah, a little chance to hang out with my bestie at our favorite bar. Hey, did you know I didn't have a date tonight?
Not really. Well, kinda. But the real reason I called is that I don't have a date for tonight.
Oh? Chaz busy? Something just come up at work again?
Celia, you know he hates it when you call him Chaz. His name is Charles. And no, he's not working late. We had a little fight.
Serious?
Maybe. Yeah, I think so. At first, you know, he enjoyed that I was second-guessing what he wanted. Like, he was in the mood for pizza, and I already had one in the oven. And I already rented the movie he felt like watching.
Well, that all sounds good. Why would he complain?
Well, pizza and the movie were okay. It was after.
After?
Yeah. For some reason, out of the blue, like I knew exactly what he was thinking, I told him that I didn't think getting engaged was a good idea right now.
Wow. Did you really think he was going to ask you to marry him? After pizza and a DVD?
Real romantic, right? But anyway, he pulls his jewelry box out of his pocket and gets all huffy and says, "Well, I guess I should just take this back to the store, huh?" And he storms out.
Wow.
Tell me about it.
Oh, move your bag. He said he'd call me, maybe.
What?
I said he'd call me, maybe.
No, that's not actually what I was
saying. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your purse. Just blind and clumsy, I guess.
Oh, I'm the one who's sorry. I shouldn't have left it in the way like that.
Oh, it's no problem. No problem. No harm done.
Amy, did you see that?
What? That he didn't ask for your number?
No, that you told me to move my bag before he tripped on it.
I did?
You did. And that just proves it. You've got some sort of gift. You can see the future.
Yeah, yeah. The amazing clairvoyant Amy Preston. She can predict there'll be stumbling drunks at the bar. She can predict that her boyfriend will be mad at her for turning down his proposal before he even asks.
But you did predict those things. Don't you see?
Celia, what I can see is that my glass is empty. Another sidecar, please. No, no, no. Don't you see? What good is it really? I mean, other than to be super secretary to Mr. W, I can't, like, control it, you know? I didn't know what I was gonna know, you know?
I hear you, Amy, I do, but you just need to practice. You know what I'm saying? It's like meditate, yoga or something. You know, focus and stuff. Get, what do they call it? Find your center.
Find my center? I'll be lucky if I can find my apartment. Are we still here?
No, really, girl. I mean it. You could make yourself a fortune if you just, you know, develop your gift.
Nah, I don't see it. How's that for a gift, huh? I don't see it.
No, listen, Amy.
Okay, Celia, my dear. Okay, I'm listening. I just hear the music.
Look, Amy. I'm serious, girl. We could make a fortune.
How, Celia, my bestest friend?
I don't know. Things where knowing what's going to happen a little bit in the future could give you the advantage.
Like knowing what a jerk Chaz would turn out to be?
No, well, yeah, that would have been good. But I'm talking about how to make money, Amy.
Get a job at the Mint.
What?
If you want to make money, get a job at the Mint.
That's it, Amy. You're brilliant. We could go to the Mint Casino, and you could predict who I was going to win. Like the wheel thingy with the little ball.
Roulette.
Yeah, that's it. You could see where the ball will end up, and we'll be rich.
Yep, rich. That's us. You and me, Celia, my dear. Rich!
You're the chief's personal secretary. Can't you change the music around here? I mean, something a little perkier, maybe? Something with a beat?
Listen, the chief says the music's designed to foster a calm workplace and harmony among the staff.
Yeah, nothing more harmonious than the snores of the sleepers.
It is what it is. The chief likes it, and I can't change it. Yes, ma'am. The chief will see you now.
Thanks.
What's the latest on our stray?
Prescience? Well, he's still stuck with Amy Preston. But now there's a little problem. Amy has started to use the gift.
Oh, don't tell me she's hung up a shingle as a psychic.
It's worse. She's gambling.
Oh, great. Just great. Just what we need. Having someone using an unauthorized spiritual gift to commit a sin.
Well, technically, ma'am, I think only Islam and Buddhism have the scriptures that specifically...
It doesn't matter who thinks it's a sin. It's a perception thing. If it makes me look bad, it's a sin.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, Amy and her girlfriend are about to get themselves into some pretty hot water. The way they're winning is some game called roulette. What's roulette?
It's that game with the wheel and the little ball. I've always wanted to try roulette. It just looks so sophisticated, you know? It's get myself a long red gown and maybe invite Agnes from Tunnel X-42.
that sounds nice, ma'am.
So, Amy's in trouble.
Well, not just yet, but soon. I mean, they are, according to the report, drawing the unfavorable attention of the owners of the casino who do not appreciate the regularity with which Amy Preston and Celia Bradbury are beating the odds at the roulette table.
Ah, I see. But the owners, they're good people, aren't they?
No, ma'am, they're crooks.
Oh, I see. Any imminent danger to the girls?
Well, not yet, no. I mean, the owners are still trying to figure out how the girls are cheating. They're keeping a very close eye on the two of them.
Well, all right, if nothing's pressing, let's just let this one play out. No need to interfere. My plan and all that.
Oh, yeah, yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Good, okay. But do keep me posted.
Mm.
I've been meaning to tell you, you're doing an excellent job, Control, and I personally appreciate your efforts.
Oh, well, thank you, ma'am.
And you won't say anything about the red gown or mentioning Agnes?
Oh, no, no, no. No, of course not.
Right.
Of course not, ma'am.
Great. Well, that will be all then, Control.
Yes, ma'am.
No more bets, please. Ladies and gentlemen, no more bets. $22 black, $22.
Amy, we won!
Again? What a surprise. Come on, Celia, let's go. I'm getting bored.
But we've just won $35,000 on this one play. Come on, Amy, just one more. We'll go home rich.
Celia, I can't. This isn't...
Just one more.
Play it again.
Again? Well, okay. That's a girl. 1,000 on 22.
No more bets, please. Ladies and gentlemen, no more bets. $22 black, $22.
We won! Another $35,000!
Can we go now? I don't feel right about this.
Are you kidding? Two more wins like this and we can pay off our student loans.
Something's not right.
Is this a premonition thing or a guilt thing?
I don't know.
Excuse me, ladies. The manager would like to personally congratulate you on your exceptional good luck. If you would be so kind as to follow me.
Told you so.
Ladies, please.
Take your hand off my arm.
Of course. No need for a scene.
No more bets.
This way, please.
But our chips.
I'll take care of your winnings, ladies. We don't want to keep the manager waiting.
Okay. We're coming.
Ladies, Mr. Blaine, the manager.
Brad. Welcome, ladies. Welcome. I'm Richard Blaine, but my friends call me Rick. I've been keeping an eye on you two this evening. Oh, no need for concern. I simply wanted to congratulate you on your good luck.
Thank you.
Of course, your exceptional good luck is expensive to my casino.
I suppose it is. Are you calling an end to our winning streak, then?
Of course not. I'm merely interrupting it for the night. Don't worry, Brad will be here shortly with your winnings.
Then what do you want with us?
I'd like to get to know our big winners. It's good public relations. While quite costly as far as our publicity budget goes, wins like yours attracts more customers, you see? And more customers, well, more income for me. Drinks?
No, thank you.
How rude of me. I believe introductions are in order. You know my name. May I be privileged to know yours?
Of course. I'm Amy Preston, and this is my friend...
Celia Bradbury.
Pleased to meet you, Amy, Celia. As much as paperwork disagrees with me, I'm afraid I'll need you both to fill out these forms for tax purposes. You wouldn't believe the regulations we must follow in this business... Just your names, addresses, and social security numbers.
You want our socials? Don't we just declare our winnings on our own taxes?
For large wins like yours, we have to keep documentation as well to prevent tax fraud and all that.
Right.
All in accordance with regulations, I assure you. Ah, here's Brad with your winnings in one of our complimentary leatherette bags. $187,650, if I'm not mistaken. Quite a tidy sum for one evening's play.
Oh, wow. Oh,
thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Yes,
that's great.
Just finish the forms and you can take your cash. As hard as we try to prevent it, there is often a certain criminal element at our casino. I'd like to make sure you and your winnings get off our premises safely. Brad will escort you to your car, a yellow 2004 Toyota Corolla, I believe. Brad, you have the license plate number, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Then there'll be no confusion. And ladies, do please come back another evening when you're not feeling quite so lucky. I'd appreciate the opportunity to recoup my losses. Before you go, ladies, I want to compliment you. I've had our pit bosses and our security staff watching you intently for the last hour, and we didn't spot a thing. Tell me, how were you doing it?
Doing what?
Winning so consistently.
Just lucky, I guess.
Or maybe she just has a gift for roulette.
You don't want to tell me? I understand. But we will figure it out, ladies, I assure you.
But that's all, Mr. Blaine. Celia and I would like to leave now.
Of course.
Oh, and I'm sorry about your brother.
My brother? Really? Good night, Amy. Celia.
This way, please, ladies.
The video doesn't show a thing. No earpiece, no computer, no body signals. How'd they do it? Nearly 200 grand. How'd they do it? Yes?
Just got a call from the hospital, sir. Your brother, he's had a heart attack.
Phew, that was something, huh? I thought that manager was going to accuse us of cheating or something. Ooh, he really gave me the creeps.
Celia, he was accusing us of cheating. I have a bad feeling about this.
You don't feel good about coming home with $187,000? That's 2 years' pay for each of us.
Oh, I'm happy about the money. It's just, I don't know, something's wrong.
Well, when you figure out what's wrong, tell me. Because in the meantime, I'm just imagining my bank account getting comfortably fat.
You're right. It is amazing. I never dreamed I'd have that kind of money. But there's something.
Everything's okay, Amy. I know you feel guilty about winning. And we don't have to do it again. Whoa! Where did he come from?
Oh, no. Not again.
Not again what? Oh, cheese and rice. Some idiot behind us is driving like he's at the Indy 500 or something. I'm gonna pull over and let him pass. Must be drunk or something.
Careful, Celia!
He's coming right at us!
Yeah, the chief says we gotta send them both back as soon as we grab prescience from Amy.
This was a big plan, was it? Another car crash? That's not a very nice plan.
Well, what can I say? And the casino thug who ran them off the road, he grabbed the bag with their money, too. Apparently, it's a lesson.
Now, that's just not fair. Okay, here she comes. We have to let her get right to the barrier. Get ready to pull prescience out. Don't let her pass over too far. Careful. Careful. Careful.
You got him. Good. Good work, team. Good work. Okay, you two. Take prescience to rehab. He's going to need some adjusting from all that time in the corporeal realm.
Okie doke, Control. The rest of you, send them both back. Easy now. Easy. No trauma, no memories. That's it. That's it. Good job.
I'll let the chief know it's all taken care of.
Doesn't she already know?
Well, she still likes her reports. Keeps things official.
Right. Say, did you get a chance to ask about the music?
Amy, darling, you're back with us. Thank God.
Mom?
Yes, dear, I'm here.
Celia. How's Celia?
She's fine, Amy, she's fine. She's in the room next door.
Oh, good. What happened?
The police say probably someone at the casino saw you winning and followed you when you left. They ran you off the road and stole the bag of money.
The money? Oh, it's gone? All of it?
I'm afraid so, honey. I'm sorry.
I feel funny.
Well, you were in an accident, sweetie, and you're just coming to. Of course you feel funny.
It's not what I mean. Funny like something's missing.
I promise you, darling, all your pieces are present and accounted for. A little black and blue, but you're okay.
Not exactly what I mean.
You need to get some rest, Amy. No more talking right now. Here, let me fix your blanket. It's all tangled. How clumsy! I knocked over your flowers. Oh, what a mess! I'm so sorry, sweetie.
Huh. That's odd. I feel like I should have seen that coming.
If you thought you heard this coming, then you already know that you've been listening to Amy's Gift, an original American Radio Theater production written by Kay Lutz and directed by Linda Rasmussen. In the cast, you heard Karen Leese as Amy Preston, Chuck Royalty as Mr. Preston, Dean Moody as PA Voice and the Chief Secretary, Ivan Curry as Control, Mary Moore Campagna as the Dispatcher, Nick Richa as the Tunnel Team Leader, Beth Schlansky as Mrs. Preston, Pat McNally as Dr. Casey, Brian Hendrickson as Nurse Keating, Magpie McLaurin as Celia Bradbury and the Chief, Dave Leese as Mr. Willoughby and Elise Brother, Bob Perks as the Man in the Bar, Mark Whitworth as the Croupier, Greg Porter as Brad, and Lauren Walton as Mr. Blaine. Music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Sound effects by Kay Lutz and Marilyn Wilt. Engineering by Ken Leese. Production and playback by Joy Jackson. And I'm your announcer, Dan Schindler. You've been listening to American Radio Theater. If you have enjoyed what you've heard, listen to our many other podcasts on our website, www.americanradiotheater.org. And please take advantage of our new and improved donate button.
My next show was written back in the 1990s by a friend of mine, Marshall Oliphant. Set in the 1950s, here's a science fiction story called Gastropod.
American Radio Theater invites you to travel back in time, back to those innocent, paranoid years of 1950s America, when our only real enemies were communists. All horrors, real or imagined, could be laid upon the altar of the atomic bomb, and duck and cover was our mantra. Sit back with your weapon of choice and listen to the imagination of Marshall Oliphant as he shares his tale of Gastropod. And now, Gastropod. It is the summer of 1956 in the small, isolated town of Apple Blossom in eastern Washington. The time is early morning. The place, the Apple Blossom Cafe.
Morning, Sheriff. The usual?
Why not, Mary Jo? Might as well have my usual breakfast at my usual hour in my usual cafe.
Double cackles over easy, links and flaps. My, Sheriff, it sure sounds like someone got up on the wrong side of the bed today.
Oh, that's just the trouble, Mary Jo. I didn't get up on the wrong side of bed today. I didn't cut myself shaving. I didn't accidentally put on mismatched socks or forget to zip my fly. I didn't do anything different today. Nothing different ever happens in this one-horse town.
I declare, drink your coffee, you young grouch. It'll make you feel better.
Sheriff, am I glad I found you. I've been looking all over.
Where else would I be at this time of morning, Deputy?
Well, Anyway, Sheriff, something terrible has happened.
Well?
Huh?
Pull yourself together, man.
Okay. It's out to Ole Sprague's place, Sheriff. His missus just called, crying and carrying on something awful. Says a bunch of their cows have all gone flat, and that old Ole's disappeared.
Flat cows?
Steamroller flat, Ma Sprague says, and all covered up with some kind of goo. Course, now Ma's all scared that maybe old Ole's gone flat someplace, too.
Pod, have you any idea how ridiculous this sounds?
Well, sure, Sheriff, but then it ain't my story.
Yes, you're right. I better hold off on breakfast, Mary Jo. I've got some investigating to do. Come on, Pod.
10-4.
I declare, darned if Sheriff hasn't gone and got himself his something different.
Watch it, Sheriff. Miss Sprague, this stuff's slippery. Pick it back off onto the side. Jeez, looks like a highway of spit. 10 yards wide and a mile long.
We could do without your graphic description, Pod, but thanks for the warning. Now, where'd you say the flat cows were, Miss Sprague?
Oh, just around the bend. There they are, Sheriff. All what's left of Elsie, Elmer, Bessie, and Penelope.
Jeez, Sheriff. Darned if they don't look like four big leather pancakes covered in corn syrup.
Pod, you ever thought about becoming a writer?
Jeez, no. Do you really think I could? Oh, sorry, Miss Sprague. It's just that I ain't ever seen anything like this afore.
Brings a whole new meaning to ground beef. I don't think any of us have, Pod. Miss Sprague, you better go over there and sit on that stump while Pod and I do some investigating.
Okay. Thank you, Sheriff. Sheriff?
Yes, Miss Sprague?
You'll find my Ole, won't you?
I'll do my best, ma'am. Pod, I don't need to tell you. We've got us one heck of a mystery on our hands.
You ain't whistling Dixie, Sheriff. Ain't nothing in the rule book tells us what to do about a bunch of flat cows and a Mississippi River of spit.
Well, one thing's for sure, Pod. This goes way beyond our abilities. We need outside help. Somebody who can tell us what all this slimy stuff is. How it can cause the...
Popping thunder bubbles. What was that? It'd like to make my hair stand on end.
Sheriff!
What is it, Miss Sprague?
That sound! I heard it afore.
When?
Oh, last night, around midnight, I reckon. Woke me up. Didn't think much of it at the time. Only snores, you know. Thought maybe it was just clogged up more than usual. Lordy, I just turned over and went back to sleep.
You think that sound's got something to do with what's going on around here, Sheriff?
Beats me, Pod, but I'm not taking any chances. Come on, Miss Sprague. We're taking you into town till this thing's over.
Sure is creepy out here at night, pal. Moonlight glistening off in that sea of spit and all, especially with them four flat cows over there. Just don't seem natural.
Well, Sheriff and the search party should be getting back pretty soon, Jethro. It's getting too dark out, even with the moonlight.
It seems silly to be guarding dead cows anyways, pal. What's the sheriff expect them to do? Rise up and moo? I'd sure rather be out searching for Ole with the rest of them. Hell, I'd rather be doing almost anything.
What's that?
Didn't hear nothing, pal. Didn't now. Lord Pod, let's get out of here.
I don't know.
Pod, it's Solus Sprague!
Jeez, what could have happened to him? Hey! Hey, Oli, it's me, Pod, your friend, Pod! You're okay now, Oli, take it easy! It's Pod!
Pod? Pod? I know no Pod! No Pod, I know! Bean Pod, Pod? Pod, Bean, Bean! Bean, Bean? Jelly Bean, Bean? Jelly Bean! Jelly Bean! Jelly Bean, sing! Jelly Bean, sing! Jelly Bean, sing!
I've got Sprague calmed down now, Sheriff. He's obviously had some kind of terrible shock. I left his missus with him. He used to be a nurse, you know.
Any idea what kind of shock?
Beats me. From the way Sprague was babbling, though, I'd say that a jelly bean had something to do with it.
Well, that's swell, Doc. Now all I have to do is look for a psychopathic, slime-slobbering jelly bean that flattens cows and drives men mad.
A daunting task, Sheriff.
Ha ha.
Follow me into the lab, Harvey. I've just about finished up my analysis of that slime you brought in. Sheriff, I've analyzed this stuff just about every way I know how. The best I can come up with is that it probably came from some kind of an animal.
An animal? Cripes, Doc, it would take thousands of animals to make that much slop.
I did the best I could, Harvey. I'm a GP, for Christ's sake, not a slime doctor. You need more, you get yourself some kind of research scientist from a university or somewheres. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got some boils to lance.
You've come all the way here to Seattle from Apple Blossom to have me look at some, slime, Sheriff Finklefinger?
Yes, ma'am. Diffenderfer.
Dr. Deanna Diffenderfer, Sheriff Finklefinger. Deanna.
Deanna. I'm Harvey.
Harvey. Harvey, did you bring your specimen?
Yes, ma'am. Deanna, I've got my, specimen right here in my briefcase, in a mason jar. I washed the jar out real good before I stuck it in.
Excellent. Let me take a look at it and then tell me all you can about the circumstances under which it was found.
And so, while the rest of America argued the merits of Elvis Presley across the generation gap, washed one-year-old Chevys in the driveways of homes purchased on the GI plan, and dreamed of mom and pop and apple pie, Dr. Deanna Diffenderfer and a dedicated team of researchers worked day and night on the problem of the mysterious flattening slime of eastern Washington. Meanwhile, on an early morning back in Apple Blossom...
I'm afraid it's real bad out here to the Fafner farm, Sheriff. Just more than just cows this time. Over.
The Fafner family? Over.
Flatter than flapjacks, Sheriff. That slime stuff got most of the other livestock, too. Over.
Pod, I've got an ETA of 3 minutes. Doc and the meat wagon are following. Stay inside, and for Pete's sakes, keep away from that slime. Over and out. What do you think, Doc?
The cows you showed me last time were bad enough, but Phil and Fanny Fafner, they were friends of mine, Sheriff. It's horrible. They look like two fallen cardboard cutouts.
Yeah. Still no ideas on how the slime does it?
I'm pretty sure the slime doesn't do it, Sheriff. Even my little tests pretty well proved that the slime isn't toxic in any way. I think the Fafners, and the livestock on both the Sprague and Fafner farms, were physically flattened. Almost like they were run over or something.
Jeez, Doc. By what?
Beats me, Pod. Sheriff, have you gotten any word from that research scientist in Seattle yet?
Deanna Diffenderfer. No. I asked Gertie to call her on my way over, Doc. With any luck, Gertie should be patching her through to me on the car radio any time now.
I sure hope Dr. Duffelbag can help us, Sheriff. maybe also figure out something about that creepy slobbering sound Jethro and me heard just before old Oli popped out of the bushes at us the other night. Oh, that just scared me to poop.
Hope so, Pod. Although I'm not sure that the slime and the sound are connected yet. And the name's not Duffel Bag Pod, it's Diffenderfer. By the way, while we're on the subject of Oli Sprague, Doc, how's he doing? We gonna be able to get any more out of him?
Doubtful, Sheriff. I can never seem to get him past his obsession with jelly beans. If he doesn't improve soon, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to ship him off to a mental hospital.
Too bad. I think...
Calling Car 1. Car 1. Sheriff Hinklefinger. I've got Dr. Diffenderfer on the line. Over.
Patch her in, Gertie. Over.
Right, Sheriff. Harvey? Deanna? Can you hear me? Harvey? Harvey? You've got to say over. Oh, sorry. Over.
I can hear you, Deanna. Go ahead. Over.
Harvey, we completed all the tests on the slime just shortly before you called in. Checked and double-checked. I think we now know what's causing all the havoc in Apple Blossom. Although, I must admit, I can hardly believe it. Over.
Well, over.
I think it's best that I tell you in person, Harvey. I'm going to be taking the university's plane to Apple Blossom within the next hour. I should be there by mid-afternoon. Check with your tower and meet me at the airport. Over and out.
Deanna! Deanna! Oh, darn.
Find out anything, Sheriff?
Not yet, but apparently she knows something. She's going to be flying... What in the name of all that's holy was that?
That's it, Sheriff. That's the sound Jethro and me heard t'other night. The slobbering. Look, it seems to be coming from near that big, spotty-looking hill over there, behind them apple trees.
Where?
There.
Pod, I don't see any hill.
Why, sure, that... I'll be. It's gone. Poppin' thunder bubbles, Sheriff. I swear there was a hill there a minute ago. A great, big, slimy-looking hill.
Sheriff! Harvey!
Hi. Take your bag.
Thanks.
My car's right over there. The black and white one.
I never would have guessed.
Oh, right. I got you a room at the Hanford Hotel. I think you'll like it.
Hanford?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what goes on over there?
At the Hanford Hotel? Well, nothing better be going on over there. At least not while I'm sheriff. I run a clean...
No, for heaven's sakes, Harvey. The town, not the hotel.
Oh, the town.
Hanford. Hanford's not too far from Apple Blossom, is it?
Not as the crow flies, I guess, but... What does that have to do with anything?
It has everything to do with anything, Harvey. Everything.
I saw what I saw, Jethro. Ain't no sheriff gonna tell me no different. There was a hill up ahead when I first looked this morning, and then there wasn't. Dang thing must have moved.
Hills don't move, Pod. At least not in under a jillion years or so.
Well, I'll bet this one did. And that's sure shooting. It's got something to do with that slobbering sound.
I ain't so sure we should be out here, Pod. Even in daylight. Not if there's some kind of slobbering thing on the loose.
We got shotguns, don't we? Wait. We're almost there. There. That's where I seen the hill. Right behind the Fafner's orchard?
Lord, Pod, look at all them apple trees. All stubbled down to the trunks like someone cut off all the tops.
Just a big clearing of short sticks where the Fafner Farms family orchard used to be. Pod! Big as a hill, rising up out of the trees at the edge of the clearing.
It sees us, Pod! Oh, Lord! It sees us! Them eyes! It's coming at us! Run, Jethro, run! Pod!
With the terrifying close of the first act of Gastropod, we pause for a moment for station identification. And now, back to American Radio Theater and the conclusion of Marshall Oliphant's original play, Gastropod. It is late afternoon, and we are in the sheriff's office of Apple Blossom, Washington. It has been over an hour since Dr. Deanna Diffenderfer, celebrated research scientist, first arrived in this slime-plagued community, and she and Sheriff Harvey Hinklefinger are engaged in solemn conversation.
Lemax Maximus?
Lemax Maximus, the common garden slug.
You gotta be joking, Deanna. Well, first of all, there are no slugs in eastern Washington. At least, I've never seen one. And secondly, even if there were, how on earth could a bunch of slugs cause all these terrible deaths?
Slug, Harvey. Not slugs. A slug. One slug.
Now I know you've gone off the deep end, Deanna. The thing would have to be the size of a battleship.
Precisely.
Oh, boy, that's all we need for the papers. A mad scientist with her giant slug theory.
Harvey, hear me out.
Okay, Deanna. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that I go along with your crazy assertion that there's a super slug running around loose in Apple Blossom. First of all, where would such a thing come from? Second, why haven't we seen it? It would seem to me that something that big would find it pretty hard to hide.
Harvey, do you remember when I asked you in the car about Hanford's proximity to Apple Blossom and whether or not you knew anything about what went on over there?
Yeah, so you're not answering my question.
Yes, I am, Harvey. Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we never did finish that conversation in the car. So, do you know what goes on in Hanford at the government facility?
Well, no, not exactly. Word is they manufacture plutonium for atomic bombs or something like that, but it's all pretty hush-hush. It was real hush-hush during the war.
You're right, Harvey. They do manufacture plutonium, and plutonium is...
radioactive!
Bingo, you've got it! Someone from Western Washington, a truck driver bringing supplies maybe, could have transported a common garden variety slug into the Hanford plant on the tip of a shoe, perhaps, and then, when that slug was exposed to radiation...
a giant slug!
Give that man a prize!
Well, I must admit that such a hypothesis certainly would account for the king-sized trails of slime, and something that big could certainly flatten anything that got in its way. But then why haven't any of us, at least any of us still sane or alive, seen this creature? How could something that big hide from us?
I don't think it does hide, Harvey. I think it probably just plays possum when threatened. Hides in plain sight, as it were. If you've ever seen a slug, you know that it just stops dead in its track when threatened, pulls in its eye stalks and antenna, and just shrinks up into a little jelly bean-like mound. Well, I think our super slug does the same thing. Anyone not looking for it would probably just perceive it as a hill off in the distance, maybe, or a...
jelly bean. Jelly bean! Holy... hill? Oh, Lord, Deanna, Pod, my deputy, claimed that he saw a disappearing hill out at the Fafner farm just this morning. At the time, I thought he was crazy. And so now the old fool's out there with his buddy Jethro Tupp, trying to find the damn thing in order to prove it to me.
I wish you'd told me this before, Harvey.
I didn't place any significance on it before, Deanna. Come on, grab your coat. As soon as I get us some folks to help us search, we're on our way to the Fafner farm as fast as feasible.
It's starting to get dark, Harvey. Maybe you'd better call for searchlights or something.
Not yet. We gotta keep going. There's still about an hour of good light left. Besides, Doc, Mary Jo, and the others really know the territory.
Sheriff! Sheriff!
Yeah, Mary Jo?
Found something? I'm bringing it over. Oh, here! A cap!
It's Pod's fishing cap. His favorite. He'd never leave it behind unless...
Don't jump to conclusions, Harvey. He might...
Sheriff, over here.
What is it, Doc?
Look, up ahead. What do you make of it?
I'll be damned. A huge clearing of partially cut apple trees. It doesn't look like any kind of clearing method I've ever seen.
That area wasn't cleared, Harvey. It was eaten.
Lord, Sheriff, did you hear that?
I sure did, Doc.
Oh, Lord have mercy!
Harvey, look!
Oh, my... You were right, Deanna. A giant slug, the size of a battleship.
You stop moving. Let's get out of here.
Wait, Harvey!
Oh, Lord, Sheriff, look! Above the trees! It's Pod, rising up into the sky like an angel!
Help! Sheriff, help!
He's clinging to one of the giant ice stalks.
Help!
Pod! Pod, we're coming! Hang on!
Oh, my Lord, the thing heard us! It sees us! Them big, stocky eyes see us!
It's starting this way.
Sheriff, look! Now that thing is moving again. Pod's starting to slip. He can't hang on.
Oh, Harvey, I can't look.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Lordy. Pod's sliding and bumping down that slimy thing's back like he's riding him a roller coaster. Sheriff.
No. Oh, no.
I think he made it.
The thing's still coming, Sheriff!
Quick! Everybody grab your rifles! Start firing at its eyes! Maybe we can get it to turn away so we can go get Pod! Fire!
Let's go get you!
I think you're doing it! It's turning away!
Come on, Doc! Let's get Pod!
Right behind you, Sheriff!
There it goes, Mary Jo! It's heading away from us!
That it is! But now, Lord help us! We've got it heading towards town!
It is now 2 days after what legend came to call the Battle of Fafner Farm. We find ourselves on the outskirts of the now slug-besieged town of Apple Blossom, Washington, where, after the proper authorities had been notified, a division of Washington National Guardsmen now stand battling the slug from hell. We are behind the lines with the media and frightened townspeople as the war between man and giant gastropod rages in the near distance.
And gentlemen, this is Larry Ballou, reporting to you live from Apple Blossom, Washington. The scene of the fierce battle between mankind and nature gone horribly awry. Mere words can't convey the unutterable grotesqueness of this gigantic, undulating horror that rises in the distance before 10-20 stories high. Ah, as I speak, roaring its defiance to the assembled army below, and so far, winning. Ladies and gentlemen, winning, because it's soft, so soft that, like a Matterhorn of jello, it seems to be able to absorb all the projectiles being fired at. Yes, ladies and gentlemen,
I told you so. I told you so. Jelly bean seen. Jelly bean grow. Jelly bean green. Jelly bean slow.
Oh, Ollie. Poor Ollie.
What the heck is Ollie Sprague doing out here, Doc? You think this would be the last place on Earth he should be?
Don't look at me, Sheriff. It was his psychiatrist's idea. Thought maybe it would shock him out of it or something.
So much for psychiatry.
Ladies and gentlemen, something is happening. The guns have stopped. The guns have stopped. Please stand by.
Hello? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll talk to her and get back to you. Yes, sir. Goodbye.
What is it, Harvey?
It was the National Guard commander, Deanna. He's ordered a ceasefire. The guns are having no effect. You're the scientist. He needs your help. Think. How do you kill a slug?
Oh, Harvey, don't you think I've been racking my brain for the answer? If the slug were ordinary size, there would be several ways, of course. For one, we could use an arsenical compound.
Oh, too dangerous. The amount of arsenic we'd have to use on our slug would kill off half the town. Now, what else?
Well, maybe. Harvey, look.
Howdy, Sheriff. Dr. Diff...
What are you doing here? I thought you were supposed to stay in the hospital.
Oh, I just couldn't, Sheriff. Not with the thing what killed my best pal Jethro still running around loose. I have to be here, Sheriff, don't you see? I have to be here.
I understand, Pod. You can stay, if you keep out of the way.
Quiet as a mouse.
Good. Now, Deanna, you were saying maybe another way we could kill the slug would be...
Well, there's a new chemical compound, less poisonous.
Too bad we can't just get a giant salt shaker, Sheriff. Why, when I was a little kid, I remember we...
Pod, please!
Harvey, that's it. Salt. Salt. Why didn't I think of that before? If only we could get enough.
Salt. Sure, salt. Deanna, hand me that signal oil map. Now, the salt flats near Cashman Lake are only about 40 miles from here. Yes, I think it could be done.
What, Harvey? What could be done?
Airdrops. Salt could be shoveled onto B-52s from the salt flats, and the flats would make a good runway. The planes could fly over the slug.
And pepper him with salt. Harvey, you're a genius.
Oh, gee.
You too, Pod.
Oh, gee.
It is 8 hours later. The National Guard has managed to hold the giant slug at bay while an Air Force B-52 squadron worked to put Sheriff Harvey Hinklefinger's bold plan into effect. We are still in Apple Blossom, watching the skies.
Ladies and gentlemen, the last stand of the brave little town of Apple Blossom, Washington. This is Larry Blue reporting live from the scene as the first of several B-52s loaded with salt flies into position over the giant slug. The slug sees the plane. Ladies and gentlemen, he's rising, rearing him up to a full height in an attempt to repel the invaders from the sky. The Bombay's doors are opening, and salt begins to cascade down on the beast like a snowstorm. Hey, it's working. Ladies and gentlemen, the rest of the planes are dropping their loads now. The skies have turned white, and the slug... Yes, the slug appears to be dying. Yes, shriveling up into a giant bubbling lump of fat. Ladies and gentlemen, I think the slug is dead.
Jelly bean scream, jelly bean bubble, jelly bean dead. Now no more trouble.
Oh, Ollie.
Poppin' thunder bubbles. I think we did it, Sheriff.
Harvey, we've done it.
Yes, but not we, Deanna. We, man, created this thing, meddling in places where we were not meant to go. No, it was beauty killed the beast, Deanna. The beauty of one of God's own simple creations, salt, that destroyed the thing which man in his arrogance created. For man...
Sheriff, I hate to bring this up now, interrupting your big finale speech and all, but...
Yes, Pod, what is it?
Sheriff, what the heck are we going to do with umpteen tons of dead slug? Holy cow, first thing you know, it's going to start rotting, and then it's going to start smelling, and then...
You have been listening to American Radio Theater's retelling of Gastropod, an original play written by Marshall Oliphant, produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Beth Schlansky as Mary Jo, Greg Porter as Sheriff Hinklefinger, Dan Schindler as Pod Yancey, Magpie McLaurin as Ma Sprague, Nick Richa as Jethro, Mark Whitworth as Ole Sprague, Dave Leese as Dr. Bob, Linda Rasmussen as Dr. Deanna Diffenderfer, Karen Leese as Gertie, Pat McNally as Larry Ballou Radio Guy, Dean Moody as Gastropod. Music by Kevin McLeod at www.incompetech.com. Live sound effects by Lauren Walton. I'm Kim Turner, your announcer. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Ah, gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please come by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. You know, we put up a new one every month. Hey, remember to stop by RadioOutOfThePast.org for the April 29th Old Time Radio Marathon, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, to 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. It'll be fun, and we'll have some new prizes. That's April 29th. See you there.